Hi, everyone. This is Dave Newbert, Marketing Director for Eagle Eye Power Solutions, and welcome to our podcast, DC Power Hour, the show where we will discuss everything related to, you guessed it, critical DC power solutions. So charge up, power on, or do whatever it takes to get yourself excited for the episode of DC Power Hour. All right, welcome back to another episode of DC Power Hour. Thanks for joining. We've got an interesting topic. We've got a special guest coming to us from another industry. He's sort of an email marketing guru, Jay Schwedelson. So we'll let him introduce himself and tell us a little bit about his business and what he's got going on. And we have the marketing department here with Jason Pape and Marley Antonik. Is that pronounced correctly?
That's
Antonik.
Good, yeah.
Okay. I just spell it. I don't know how to say it. And then we've got Alan, one half of our Battery Blarney duo, to ask to really answer any of the tough questions about the DC power industry. So, Jay, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. And maybe just give us a quick overview of how you've gotten to this point in your career. And then I can kind of share with you how we came across you and our paths crossed.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I appreciate you all including me. This is the first time I've ever been on a podcast about, you know, direct current power related things. So I'm going to check this off my bucket list. But my background, I've had a marketing agency. We're about 100 person organization in South Florida for, gosh, over the last 25 years or so. And we help business marketers and consumer marketers drive demand, try to get new customers, try to have growth. And we do that with email and direct mail and podcast advertising, all sorts of different media. So that's super fun. And then over the years, we've tried to provide some thought leadership, some information to the marketing community to help them do things a little bit better. So we have sites out there like subjectline.com, which is a free website that marketers use. They test their subject lines before they send out an email. And then we put on lots of big conferences and free events. And so we just try to put out a lot of free content to share with the industry. And kind of that's my world.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the business model, I think, that we're trying to accomplish, kind of what we're doing with this podcast as well. It's just be the industry experts, share that knowledge. And then once you create that demand, obviously people will continue to look to you when it comes time to buy products or ask those types of questions. So that's how I first found out about you, Jay. Was 5 or 6 years ago, I was using Subject Line Tester, you know, subjectline.com, and just writing a lot of emails, working at an advertising agency as the sort of the chief copywriter. And I found that site and found it really helpful, you know, scale of 1 to 100. What's the best email? And then if you're not up to 100, what kinds of things can you, you know, improve on, the sense of urgency and all the things that have been really helpful. And then as I became the marketing director here and got this great team like Jason and Marley here, we started getting the scoop emails that you were sending, attending the guru conferences. Marley's got she's rocking her pink switch.
Oh yeah. There you go. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So just again, looking to you and your company for all this great information. And it's just, I really like the way you do it too. Obviously you do it very honestly. You're very entertaining in the way you do it. You don't make it boring. And if it is boring, you are very upfront about that, because some of it can be, but it's, you do it in such like little bites, even your podcasts, which are only about 10 minutes a piece. I mean, those are just great little quick hits that all of a sudden you go, okay, you know what? I can try using more emojis in my subject line. And, you know, those types of things we continue to incorporate. So it's that demand generation. We've got experts like Alan on our team, another gentleman who's been in the industry with Alan for 40 years, George, and those are the guys on the coaster, you know, those are the Battery Blarney duo, and they've got all the information you could ever want to know about the DC power industry and more. So I think it's interesting that business model. And I feel like you're probably starting to get it into things maybe you never thought you would be involved in. And, you know, kind of where is that taking you right now?
Yeah, I know. I listen. I mean, for any of the listeners, regardless of what business that you're in, what I have found to be the path to success is this idea of really not having an agenda, sharing your industry knowledge, whatever industry that you're in, putting it out there and not saying, hey, do this if you want the information. It's just putting it out there with literally no agenda whatsoever and doing that consistently and in an honest way, saying, you know what, this may not work for you, or we tried this and it didn't go well, whatever it is, just being as upfront as you possibly can and let people tap into whatever information that you have, and you do it with no agenda. So when the time comes that you do have something to sell or promote or want them to get involved with, and you do that ask, they're going to listen because they view you as a thought leader. They view you as someone that is reputable, that they care about. And so that's how I try to operate. And obviously that's how you all try to operate. And I think that applies to every industry, every kind of business. And I think too much of the planet right now is just push offers, push offers, push offers. And that gets, you know, you tune it out because there's too much of that garbage. So yeah, totally on the same page with you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it becomes authentic then too, when you're finally selling a product or a service, then yeah, people want to listen. They're tuned in. Even when I went through the survey recently for signing up for your guru conference, and you have partners, and your partners have businesses too, and you're promoting their businesses. But I took it seriously because I like the business. I like the content. You know, you have to like the brand, I think, and then everything else starts to fall into place.
100%. Even like the podcast that you all are doing. I mean, you're not putting it out there and then saying, you know, we need to get X number of sales, you know, on this particular product. Every time you put out a podcast, you're not doing that. You're building this library, this resource for the people that are in your market so they can get smarter, they can learn more. And then over time, they may not even realize it, but they're starting to view, you know, Eagle Eye as these are the ones, they know the stuff. So when we have the need, they're calling you all. And that's, you know, that's kind of the long haul, the you know, you're looking long term, and that's a smart move.
Yeah, great. Yeah, we think so too, hopefully. And Alan, for example, we get emails from technicians who are out in the field, and they'll say, you know, Alan, help me out. I've got this issue that I Google, I talk to my managers, nobody knows the answers. So they look to us for some of those types of answers, and Alan will send them back a paragraph explanation that they couldn't have gotten anywhere else. And now that customer is starting to look to us for quotes and buying some products. So that's just
how it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so good afternoon. Good afternoon, Jerry. This is Alan. I'm speaking to you from Frederick, Maryland. Oh, and that's nice. Because that's where I live. So I love working with these guys at Eagle Eye and try and help them out as best I can. Just one word of warning today. As you can probably hear my voice, I'm a little bit short of breath. So sometimes I have to use oxygen, and occasionally you see me taking a sniff. This is one of my, not one of my better days, put it that way. I can usually go half an hour or so. But anyway, my function I see is to inform people in a language that they can understand. A lot of people in our industry talk over the customer. In other words, so I try and assume that the customer doesn't have much knowledge, or I will usually ask them up front, how much do you know about batteries? And inevitably they'll say, maybe not a lot. They're the type of people we like. But their industry, very briefly, we're in the stationary backup power industry. When I say stationary, that's to basically distinguish the type of batteries we use from automotive and traction motor batteries. You know, those batteries that move. We're more into batteries that are stationary. And these batteries are employed in three main industries. Telecommunication, you know, when the power's out, you can still use your cell phone. Do you ever think why? Well, that's because the cell sites have got battery backup. In some states, it's mandated to have four hours battery backup. Now, that's a big battery. Data processing, obviously, in the data center, all their uninterruptible power systems are backed up by batteries, mostly they have mostly 15 ministries there, because the name of the game there is, unlike telecom, where you try to keep the phones up as long as possible, all they want to do is perform an orderly shutdown so they don't corrupt data. But they usually have generators. So a generator will kick in, take over from the battery. And the third industry segment, which is probably one of our biggest, is electrical oil and gas utilities. Believe it or not, the electric generating companies are a huge user of batteries. The reason being is that if they have a power failure, you know, if the generator hangs up for some reason or other, they have to open circuit breakers, they have to run oil lube pumps to the generators, all sorts of things. So they're a huge customer of ours as well. So that's the three main industry segments we serve.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I being down here in South Florida, we have a data center here in my building. So we have all sorts of crazy battery backups. And then we have a decent sized generator, because that is, we're in probably the worst part of the country for the business that I'm in. And it's terrible. So I, you know, when I walk in and I hear our UPS is blaring off, I'm like, uh-oh, this ain't good. So I don't know how they work. I don't know exactly what you all do, but I know it's really important.
So what part of South Florida are you in?
I'm in Boca Raton, which is about 45 minutes north of Miami.
Oh, no, Boca, very, very well.
Oh, nice.
In actual fact, there's an international battery conf called BatCon, your battery conference.
Yeah.
And that was founded by a company in Boca Raton.
Oh, who knew?
A company called Albert. They were on Rogers Circle at somewhere like that, I still remember. And they were bought out by a larger company. But that was the first 27 years ago, battery conference. So I used to have to go to Boca every year, which I thoroughly enjoyed. So anyway, David, I'll put it back over to you, to the marketing guys, and see where it takes us. And just, you mentioned something, Jay, which I found very interesting, is that forget the agenda.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how we do the Staveville test. That's pretty much how we do the podcast. We start off with maybe a subject, but I've been known to deviate a little bit.
That's what makes it the most interesting.
And we try and make some of it fun. I don't know if you remember, maybe you're not young, you're too, not old enough, but there was a program on public radio out of Boston with these two car geeks. It was called the Tappet Brothers, Click and Clack. And they had fun. So we try and do the same thing.
I'm the
funny guy, and my partner George is a straight guy. So.
All right.
Yeah, it works. And like I said, they have a ton of knowledge, obviously. So Jay, we wanted to have a little fun here, and just, we've got this subject line challenge that we've been trying to incorporate here at Eagle Eye. And here, if I can figure out how to share my screen, I will do that. And I'll show you what I'm talking about. And so we just wanted to see if you would weigh in on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. You're on the spot here. So,
yeah.
You know, we're listening to your podcast.
Right.
Reading the scoop. And so we're trying to make it a little bit fun and have a little competition. So we've got four people in the marketing team here. So we had two of us go against each other on the first email, and then two of us go against each other on the second email. And we wanted to see if you could guess. And so then we did an A-B test.
Yeah.
And we wanted to see which one of these got the highest open rate. So test one, we had here in brackets. I know we're a podcast, so I should probably tell people what we're looking at here. So we had in brackets video game-changing charger technology versus in brackets video C game-changing battery technology. So obviously there's a little bit more of a call to action on that one. Which one do you think there would be a difference? And consequently, all of these scored 100 on your subjectline.com.
This is fun, and I have no idea. I'm going to guess in test one, the one that said C game-changing battery charge technology did better. That's the one I would open first. I like the call to action, but I have no idea what happened.
That was it, right? It was barely 11.74% versus 11.42. So I mean, it was okay. I mean, the sample size maybe isn't a lot, but you know, very, very close.
By the way, what's interesting about that is if you go and you ask almost anybody on the planet in marketing, they would tell you shorter is always better, right? To less characters, less whatever, which is not, as you see here, it's not always the case. So I love the test. So then there was test two, huh?
Yeah, and that whole shorter thing too, and Marley and Jason can chime in too. Sometimes that's the challenge we run into also, because some of our technical information, you can only make it so short that people understand what you're trying to tell them, you know?
So, well, what's interesting about that is sometimes incredibly long. I know people think it makes no sense, but only 10% of subject lines have over 65 characters, because everyone tries to keep it short. And there's data out there that shows that if you have really long subject lines, like obnoxiously long, they actually do better, like really well, because yeah, some places they get cut off, but a lot of places they don't. And then they stand out even more. So this whole idea that it has to be super short for it to work is not always 100% right.
Hmm. Yeah, that's, yeah. Like you said, anything to stand out. So,
always, yeah. Always.
Yeah. Okay. And then, yeah, test two, we've got with the good old lightning bolt emojis on both sides are how to meet NERC. So NERC is a very important compliance standard in our industry. North American, what is it, Alan?
Electrical Reliability Council.
There we go. There it is. And so versus emoji for a check mark, meet TPL compliance with one simple step. So it's actually NERC TPL compliance with one simple step.
Well, I love bookend emojis. I'm a big fan, but I'm going to go with the second one as the winner. I don't know if I'm right. I'll tell you if after you tell me which one was the winner, I'll tell you why I think that, but I'm curious to see what happens.
Jason, which one?
The lightning bolts one.
Oh, good. That makes me actually happy. How big of a difference was it?
That one was that Jason won that one. So not by much. It was like 11.48 versus 10.57. So very.
So what's interesting though, it didn't do marketably better than the ones without emojis, it looks like.
No.
Yeah. Wow. That's actually in the same audience, right?
Yes.
That's interesting, because you would think it would give some kind of a extra boost there. But it's good that you guys are testing all this stuff, because a lot of people, especially in the business to business marketing world, they're afraid to go as far as you guys are going. But it's great to see that you're going and you're doing this, because this is how you win.
Yeah, and I think we're in an industry where we can be a little bit innovative. That helps us stand out as well. And so if we can do some of the more forward thinking types of marketing, which we try and do, it definitely gives us a leg up in the industry too. So just these little things like emojis and following some of these trends that fortunately we get from you does seem to help. And we're also going through a transition from one marketing automation platform to another. We upgraded to HubSpot. Yeah. So we kind of felt like we were with a different company and we were kind of outgrown it. So we're excited to now jump into HubSpot, but we're cleaning up our email lists, doing all that kind of stuff too. So it's a process.
HubSpot's an incredible platform, also great for CRM. So I think you're heading in the right direction.
Great. Thank you. Well, yeah, we're going to keep doing these tests and then make a contest out of it. So somebody can get a free lunch if they get the most subject line wins, you know, over a certain period of time or something like that.
You know, the other thing I'll be thinking about for you all will be, you know, also testing a radical departure in terms of the time that you're sending it out. And the reason I say that is if you're getting a pretty, your metrics are kind of somewhat static. They're not like jumping, right? Or even going way low, right? There's no big move up or down. Then you're never going, just by tweaking a subject line, for example, you're never going to see that huge growth of any kind, because really, what are you really changing? You know, so by doing a total departure in terms of when you're sending it, I mean, send it at 6 p.m. at night or try to shake it up a little bit, I think you might start to see some different level of activity.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, good idea. Anything else from Jason and Marley about some of the stuff we're doing? No.
I'll tell you one thing we're also seeing, by the way, in the manufacturing space, because not that you're in the manufacturing space, but you are, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. The type of content that we're seeing do better than any other form of content right now that is getting consumed by the people that you're marketing to is day in the life content, where, and it's really people just taking, you know, their phone out and pointing at themselves and going into their manufacturing plant and be like, ever want to know how, you know, this battery is made? Let me take you in here and show you, blah, 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 and make it, you know, very kind of somebody walking around type thing. And we're seeing that just do incredibly well, because you all may think it's boring about how these batteries are made, but for somebody like me, who's a buyer of batteries, I have no idea. Other than this little red light when the UPS is going off, I don't know what's inside that thing. I don't know how the hell it works. So seeing that type of content really makes you feel closer to the product you're buying, and it's doing really well.
Yeah, that's good to know. And we do try and get as many videos as we can. And like you said, it's so easy to do. Just walk out. We have a battery lab here at our headquarters. So cool. We've got that opportunity to go in there and get some of that types of video. And we have a series of tech tips that we're doing now too. So we show one of our technicians in there showing us how to tighten battery clamps or how to properly charge batteries and things like that. Again, it's free knowledge. Like you said, it's might be boring to the average person, but the people who are in the industry find it really interesting. Just like this podcast. I mean, people
for sure
tune in. So,
David, if I may interject, maybe Jay can answer this. Marley does a terrific job in putting stuff out on LinkedIn, and you know, I usually see it. I usually check LinkedIn. Not first thing in the morning, but maybe second thing in the morning. And I look at it for, you know, what's competitors doing and things like that. But I notice when Marley puts it on, I go in, usually it's there pretty near the top, you know, in the morning. But if I go in after about 10 o'clock, it's disappeared. So, you know, I feel for Marley and Jason, they do a great job, but you know, why do these things disappear? Who are we not paying?
Well, LinkedIn I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. I think it's the most powerful social media platform for sure, but it is a game and you're constantly trying to beat, you know, the algorithms. There's no two ways about it. The best possible time to post on LinkedIn is 8:30, whatever local time you are on any given day. That will give you the widest circulation. But something that costs relatively no money, very, very low money, that I think is underutilized on LinkedIn is you can go on LinkedIn and you could take a database that you have. Let's say you have a database of customers or prospects, whatever it may be, and you can upload that to the LinkedIn ad manager. And then you can serve your content, your posts, whatever you're posting, you could have your posts show up only to those people. In addition to whoever's going to see it organically, you can pay and have it show up to those people specifically. And it costs very few dollars, because unless you're uploading a file of hundreds of thousands of contacts, which you probably aren't, right? You're talking about handfuls of dollars for it to be seen by exactly the people that you want it to see over whatever period of time that you want on any post that you want. So for my company, for example, it's called Boosting a Post. We boost almost every post that we do on our company pages, not on my personal page, because we want to make sure that our customers and our prospects are seeing it. Because to your point, a lot of times you post it and less than 15% of your network will see any post that you do. It doesn't go beyond that, doesn't circulate beyond that. So the majority of people are never going to see what you're posting, unfortunately, unless you actually do boost it.
Good to know. Yeah, we do a lot of boosting for the podcast posts, just mm-hmm. because we feel like that's going to gain a larger audience, that if we can start to push that out to more eyeballs in our industry and in our audience segment, that, and it seems to work. We do get a lot more visibility and interest.
Yeah. And if you're not uploading a file, I strongly recommend that is the best play on LinkedIn. I will tell you, their audience targeting is not the best. The uploading a file is the best way to go. And by the way, LinkedIn is launching literally this week something called LinkedIn Connected TV. So now if you have video, for example, your podcast, you're going to be able to have that show up when somebody's on Netflix or whatever in their streaming devices. Your same video, your same podcast will show up when they're sitting on their couch, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, and just the ability to, we're going to start doing some connected TV as well. And I did see that LinkedIn is getting into it now too, which is great because all those different touch points across all these different platforms, it makes so much sense. And being digital makes it easy to measure. So it's great for marketing.
Totally.
No doubt about it. Jay, did you have any more questions you wanted to, do you have any questions about the power industry that you want to ask Alan? Like, you know, how does the power come to your house or I don't know, anything.
Yeah. Well, I saw that when we were getting set up for this, I was thinking about what question do I have? I guess what I'm curious about, I'm always curious about this in any business. I want to know what's a bad day? Like, I know what a bad day in my business is. Like if I send out an email to like somebody's do not email list by accident, that's like a horrible day, right? I'm just curious, like in your world, like, is it like all of a sudden you make all these batteries and they're bad? They're like, you know, lemon batteries. Like, what's a bad day in your world?
Really, every day there's something bad going on. But we don't live in a perfect world. But a bad day, let me turn the question around. Electric supply, we're running into problems. We don't generate enough power, whether fossil fuel or the present day religion of greenwash. So, and it's getting even worse every day because of the proliferations of electricity. So if you remember in Dallas or in Texas, year before last, we had a perfect storm there. And it's happening more and more, these perfect storms. And I had a power outage here the other day. And how it made me give me a bad day, I was lying back in my recliner. I forget what I was doing. I was reading something. And I was relaxing because I have to do it. I suffer from long-term COVID. But the power went out. And I was here almost flat on my recliner. And my recliner was electric powered. and I couldn't get off it. to get to my emergency oxygen supply. So I had to take measures, backup power, just like batteries. You had to have my backup oxygen near my recliner for the future. But a bad day can occur any day when there's a power outage, because that is when people find out their batteries don't work.
Yes.
Because they haven't maintained them, they haven't tested them. And you get that, shoot moment when they think their UPS is going to run on and it. You know, you get that, the sound of silence. And the sound of silence is not good.
So, I got to tell you, that's so true, though, because, like, I know nothing about batteries, but it happens here. Like, we lose power, and then all of a sudden, that's when we find out that our batteries aren't working. And I know that the people here that are supposed to be looking at all that, okay, fine, they didn't check or whatever. And it's got to be very common in your world that is how people find out that they need your all help. And it's just backward. I mean, you need to do like a PSA and get on television and be like, hey, everybody, check this once a quarter or something. I don't know.
We do that.
Good idea.
but there's a new management, shall we say, in the battery backup industry. We call them financial engineers. They don't want to spend money because in a lot of cases, the actual battery backup is not revenue generating, except when you have a power outage, obviously. So a lot of financial engineers say, we don't need to maintain these. Like for the IEEE, the Institute of Electronics and Electrical Engineers, has maintenance standards for batteries. And they're quite stringent. So people say, we don't need to go and check the batteries every month. We only need to do it once a year. These batteries you're selling me, aren't they called maintenance-free batteries? So the battery marketers, manufacturers, put out a product line that they call maintenance-free batteries. But the only maintenance-free batteries I know are the ones you put in your flashlight or your cell phone, but not the ones that they use in data centers. And I'm sure the guys up there in Milwaukee will agree with me.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's our business, is providing all of the testing and maintenance products and services so that when the power does go out, the batteries work. But yeah, that is sometimes, it's hard to sell that without it actually resulting in a power outage, because like Alan said, nobody wants to throw money at it unless they can see the return on investment. But this is something I've learned from Alan and George, and you know, Alan mentioned it again, is just the biggest eye-opening part of this industry is that our grid is ancient. It is our infrastructure is depleting, just like what happened in Texas. Nobody's, you know, Biden's got a bill out there, and you know, we hope that's going in infrastructure act. We hope it's getting thrown into the right things. We don't know, but the grid needs help. When everyone's going to electric vehicles, that just puts more and more pressure on the aging grid. And so it's, you know, it's not all going to work out just the way we want it. And just to say like, hey, if we just all drive Teslas, we're going to be in a great place. We, you know, the grid will crash. So, you know, it's just trying to balance what do we really need to do and have a plan in place to be able to do it systematically.
Well, I think what you guys all do for a living provides a massive value, whether people realize it or not. I mean, it's like an insurance policy that you actually get something out of. So I'm glad that you guys exist. I'm sure you're glad that you exist, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Down in your neck of the woods, Jay, Florida Power, yeah, or their new parent company. I've been down, I've run training courses for them. And for a while, they were really big into maintenance. One of the problems you have in Florida is all their cell sites, for instance, are above ground, you know, because of the
water. Yeah, we don't have basements here.
Yeah, I know. So they're above ground. So there's a lot of people take target practice at some of them. And also copper is, you know, a good commodity to have at the moment. So the less desirous element, they know this. And they've had instances where they've gone into cell sites and stripped it of copper. So, yeah, you know, I keep saying, well, if you have regular battery maintenance, somebody goes to site and they'll see this.
Right. So, no, you're right.
But it is a huge problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just because there are those maintenance standards in place, it doesn't mean that everyone's following them, that's for sure, either, because that takes manpower and costs money too. So yeah, it's like anything. I think that you kind of get what you put into it. So
the courses that we teach, Jay, for your information, they are all, I believe they're all, guys, you can tell me, but they're all IEEE certified. In other words, our trainers, myself included, are IEEE. I'm a senior member of the IEEE, so it lends weight to that. So when we try and put that into our marketing, and Jason and Marty have done a great job on that. I see everything coming out now. Jason has IEEE certified. I think you created your own logo for it. I'm not sure.
No, they won't let us do that, but yeah, we slap it on there when we can.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is the part of the podcast where we wanted to take a cue from Jay and do the part that nobody really cares about and doesn't matter. But what kind of terrible TV shows are the guilty pleasures out there? And what are you hooked on right now, Jay?
Well, you might know this about me, but I watch, you know, epically horrible TV. I don't know that Alan and I probably are watching the same shows, but you never know. Anything reality TV I am watching, I am watching that all day long, or other horrible actors that are in bad movies. Like I was just saw Lindsay Lohan was in a new movie, which was horrible, but great at the same time. And my biggest problem is I go on Netflix and whatever is like the number one or the number two show, I try to watch it. But a lot of times they're like, I tried watching Ripley, which is a new show on Netflix. which is about, you know, Tom Ripley and the whole thing in Italy. But it was very sad and depressing. So then I had to go watch Is It Cake, because that would make me happy. So anything that's stupid is what I'll watch. I can't watch anything that's intellectual or intelligent, because that's just beyond me. What do you guys watch?
Marley?
Can I go ahead, Marley? Can I jump ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
You should mention Ripley, because my son-in-law sent me a text the other day and said, Alan, you need to watch this.
See, but, there you go.
So now I won't, but I just finished watching I just finished watching Band of Brothers, which I find to
very,
be
very like intelligent stuff. That you know, I got that vibe. You're like a smart guy.
I found that to be totally inaccurate, you know, even to the way they threw the hand grenades. Yeah, you know, it was typical, you know, imagination. But I really enjoyed a show called Peaky Blinders. And
that was very popular. I tried watching it. I need subtitles. I need subtitles for everything, though.
Although I'm Irish, I like to watch a lot of the Brit stuff, British stuff.
We won't tell anybody. Don't worry.
Yeah, I know. We won't. You know, they make some pretty good dramas as well. Yeah. And yes. So anyway, that's what I've been watching. I don't know what to watch next. So I just had the last episode of Band of Brothers last night. I'll search around for something, unless Marley can tell me something that's good.
I want to know, Marley, what are you watching?
I follow that. What I've watched, Love is Blind, 90 Day Fiancé.
There you go.
I've been watching Hell's Kitchen, anything with drama.
I love that. Everything you just said, I'll watch. I'll watch anything Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
He's great. He's British, so there you go. I love all that. Kitchen Nightmares all day long. And every other reality show you mentioned, always. And so what's going to be coming up is The Golden Bachelorette. That's the next big one, which is going to be very exciting.
Oh, wow.
Everybody needs to be watching. Very important stuff here.
Yeah. That sounds like a girly movie or a weepy movie. I hate weepy movies, so.
Yes, all of that. We like all of that. That's
it's all in one. Right. It's all kinds of things. Yeah.
Right. That's right. Exactly right.
Plastic surgery at its finest, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, there's that show Botched. You got to watch that too. That's all about plastic surgery, which is amazing. So Botched is this reality show where they have these two real doctors, plastic surgeons, and they fix all the worst botched surgeries. And it's amazing. And my wife is a dermatologist. So we'll sit there and watch it, and I'll be like, that's disgusting. Why are they doing that? And she's like, no, that's so cool. So that's my world. And my brother lives in Whitefish Bay, so sort of near you guys.
No way.
So if I ever get up there, we got to plug in stuff into your batteries and stuff and hang out together, because there you go.
World. Definitely. That's where I grew up.
No way.
Yeah.
So listen, custard over ice cream all day. I know who I'm talking to. All day.
Cops.
Yep. We knew we liked you, Jay.
That's right. There you go.
We knew it was more than just email stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Always.
Right. Jason, any...
Well, I got sucked into Love is Blind through, you know, your emails. So just finished that.
It's my fault. You're blaming me. Yeah,
all your fault. And then that ran out. So I was like, well, Perfect Match is next up here. So I've been watching
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm so proud.
No, I know. Thank you.
It's a good way to wind down, end the day, turn your brain off, right? And just be.
I'm convinced the reason reality TV exists is when you watch it, you go, well, at least that's not me. You know, at least I'm not them. Like, you feel better about yourself.
No. Could be worse.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It could be worse. I could be that person.
Right. Like all the Real Housewives and all that.
Every one of them, of course.
Yeah. Well, Jay, we'll let you go. We got one final question for you here before we go. All right. You're on the spot one last time. What could you live without more? Electricity at your house or Wi-Fi? Or which couldn't you live without more?
I think I could live without Wi-Fi. I really do. I mean, I have teenage kids, and I think if we had no Wi-Fi in my house, they might actually talk to me. So that would be a plus, or maybe not. I don't know for them, but at least for a period of time, not permanently. Right. I mean, this would be maybe for a few days or whatever. You
stream your shows. I mean,
yeah, it's fine. I'll take it all in. I'll maybe, you know, I'll think about life for a minute. I'll use a candle. You guys should be really saying, listen, without a battery backup, without power, then you can't have Wi-Fi, so it's really not an either or. It doesn't really work that way, right?
No, no, you can't have one without the other, really.
There you go.
Right. Well, any final comments, Alan?
No, but I could live without electricity because I got a generator.
Of course you do.
There you go.
Cheating.
There you go.
That is a cheater.
And my computer's got battery backup, so.
Well, if they didn't, we'd have a massive problem. I mean,
I know. On. Yes. Yes. Sorry.
And we'll be coming out to Frederick, Maryland to visit you if there's ever, you know, something happens, Armageddon.
Well, there are those out there who say it's going to happen. It's going to be sooner rather than later.
You guys should do a show like with Doomsday, get a Doomsday Prepper, like a real deal one.
Yes.
Oh.
Come on. Those people got to have crazy battery backups. That'll be the coolest show ever. It'll probably go viral.
Oh my gosh. That's a great idea. There we go.
I would listen to that one.
Send us on the road.
Yeah. How all amazing right. That would be. You keep interviewing different people that are like really out there Doomsday Preppers. And what do they do to have their battery backup? Oh my God. That would be wild.
There we go. There's a spinoff of the DC Power.
The spinoff. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The Power Bunker.
Yeah.
That's right. This has been great. Well, thank you guys for including me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us and taking time out of your day, Jay. We appreciate it.
For sure. All right, everybody. Thanks again.
Okay. We hope you can join us next time. And in the meantime, if you have any questions for the Battery Blarney Duo or anything else you want us to discuss in next week's episode, please email us at info@eepowersolutions.com. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you then.